Hare Krishna. Okay, we have a question here from Barshana Devi. She says, regarding installing deities in our temples, you recently mentioned how Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram as the central deities in Vrindavan. As the temple is in Ramanareti, we see Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman and Srinathji, where there are large Indian congregation, even though Radha Krishna may already be the central presiding deities. My question is how to decide who to invite, and to what degree, if at all, does our local audience dictate who we invite? Also, is Gornitar a Yuga avatar for this age? And we know that worship of Gornitar is the most easiest way of making advancement in this age. Then why don't we just have Gornitar in all our temples? Hopefully Srila Prabhupada's reasoning to invite Radha Krishna, Jagannath Bhai, the Subhadra, Nishinga Dev, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, etc. It's a fact that Gornitar is enough. Unfortunately, even in India, many people don't know who Gornitar is. In just temples where there are Gornitai, sometimes they mistake them for Radha and Krishna, or who knows, so many different things. People have their own preconceptions, and they tend to see deities unless they become properly educated like that. When I was in Tirupati, they told me that many people who come think that this is Radha and Krishna and the eight queens of Dwarka. And that's who's on the altar instead of the Astasakis, because I don't even know about other Sakis or other Gopis aside from Srimati Radharani. And traditionally, not just Srila Prabhupada, but Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Gornitai, Radha Krishna, and Jagannath. Gornitai, because, yes, they are the Yuga avatars. Radha Krishna are the goal that Gornitai taught us to strive to achieve. Because they are the center point of the spiritual world and the pastimes that go on there, whatever relationship or rasa one has. So they are the ultimate form of the absolute truth as energy and energetic, supreme energy and energetic. And Lord Jagannath, of course, is once again Krishna. And this is Krishna when he becomes absorbed in the moods of separation. And Lord Jagannath is sort of an advertisement, or not really advertisement is the right word, but the proponent of devotional service in separation, the Supreme Lord, showing how what great ecstasy is achieved when one worships Vrindavan down and the pastimes of Vrindavan in separation. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshiped Lord Jagannath. So these are the central Gaudiya deities. And then Srila Prabhupada worshiped established other deities for apparently different reasons, some of them for reasons of preaching. Others didn't seem to be, seemed to be more like his particular mood or the mood of a place. And then some, as Barshana here mentions, to bring the local people into the fold of Gornitai and Radha Krishna. In Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna and Balaram. Why? Because One is that it was Raman Reti, where Krishna and Balaram used to play, but probably more important was because there was only one other Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, in Prachur, and it was quite inaccessible and a small temple with small deities. So Srila Prabhupada reasoned that another Krishna Balaram Mandir would really attract a lot of pilgrims, and of course it does. Krishna Balaram Mandir attracts probably as many as Banka Bihari, which is the most popular temple in Vrindavan. So it was again Srila Prabhupada's strategy that in Vrindavan you don't just go there to do bhajan, but you go there to preach, and this gave us a wonderful preaching opportunity. Next was Mumbai, where, yes, Srila Prabhupada was well aware that the people were very much worshippers of Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. And so Prabhupada installed lordships with the idea that they would again, people would come to see them, or at least those people who were very much attached to them would also then see Guru Nitai, would also see Radha and Krishna, and of course they would also hear about them from the devotees, and they would see that Lord Ramchandra and Sita Devi also non-different than Radha and Krishna, and Guru Nitai taught us that Radha and Krishna are actually the original form of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada also now here in Mayapur, when we come to Mayapur, established Panchatattva, wanted Panchatattva here. And Panchatattva really means Guru Nitai, along with the rest of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's primary associates. Sridhar Mayapur is not only a place where we're preaching and the home of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's also the world headquarters for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so some very important statements needs to be made by the deities on the altar, because deities on the altar make statements. They make statements of philosophy. They make statements of authenticity and also of intent. So Panchatattva, of course, this is the home of Panchatattva, and it was Panchatattva, who we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, who opened the storehouse of love of Godhead. It isn't just exclusively Lord Chaitanya or even Guru Nitai, but Panchatattva are mentioned as this unique tattva of all aspects of Godhead. Panchatattva kam Krishna bhakta rupa swarupa kam bhaktya vikara bhaktya kam namami bhakta shakti kam. So these are all the forms of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then they themselves make a very important philosophical statement about these different features of the Absolute Truth. And then, of course, Radha Madhav and Asta Sakis, that, yes, this is our goal, to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their gopis. And this is what Panchatattva distributed, blessed us with the ability to do that through the Nam Sankirtan. And they didn't dream it up. Therefore, Prabhupada did something very extraordinary, and he had the Guru Parampara all the way from Krishna Hoite Chaturmukha. All the members of the Guru Parampara from Lord Krishna all the way down to the present. That this is the desire and teachings and understanding of the Guru Parampara, and to be precise, it's the Parampara of Madhvacharya, through whom or whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed by accepting his sampradaya, and in that way the authenticity of the Krishna consciousness movement is very clearly being stated here. And of course this is what fans out through the rest of ISKCON. This is what our movement is really all about. So these were the main deities that Srila Prabhupada installed. I don't know if Prabhupada gave an instruction about installing Nrisimhadev here in Mayapur. Of course, the precedent is there that Bhaktivinoda Thakur installed Nrisimhadev at Yoga Pit. But Srila Prabhupada certainly said that part of the temple of Vedic planetarium would be that all of the Vishnumurtis would be installed there, that certain major demigods would also be there and worship there as devotees. Again, making statements that we don't decry demigods, but we just recognize them as devotees of the Lord. And of course, and also that he wanted all the different avatars, so then yes, there's Nrisimhadev. Would have been included in that. And then outside of India, Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram in New Mayapur. And there doesn't seem to be much of a philosophical statement there. It's a rural farming community. What that does seem to state is that Prabhupada gave the empowerment that at least Krishna Balaram could be installed, and perhaps other deities as well, according to time, place, and circumstance. Of course, time, place, and circumstance, I don't know that necessarily would include Srinathji. I mean, ultimately, it's Krishna, and he's also part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition found by Madhavendra Puri, but he's not a deity that Srila Prabhupada installed. Whether he gave any instruction, I can't say. But at least we have also a deity worship ministry which ensures that deities are installed where they have the ability to actually properly worship them, because installing deities is relatively the easy part. Maintaining them for the rest of eternity, that's something else. And that's a very weighty responsibility that is sometimes taken a little too lightly. Once you install deities, you're making a very, very serious commitment. So this question of what deities should be installed where, at least we have checks and balances to determine that. And of course, one other qualifying factor is that Srila Prabhupada did say that in time, many of the temples in India, the managers, owners of the temples, would hand over those temples to ISKCON. Now that's taking place, and as it's taking place, we're inheriting different forms of the Lord. And even, to the best of my knowledge, there's some temples with some demigods that ISKCON has accepted, taking responsibility. And of course, once you take responsibility, you can't just all of a sudden stop the worship of some deities that are there. So it's broad, and broad has a problem in being broad, is that to be broad and to be right, you have to be intelligent. to stay in a very narrow range of alternatives, then that doesn't require much creativity or real intelligence. But certainly the dynamic would be real Gautam. If we're Krishna conscious, if we work cooperatively and consult on this very important issue, then seems to be quite a bit of scope. And added to that, just a last version is, for instance, in Hungary, where we have Lakshmi Narsingha, who were when what happens when deities are given, because they can't be properly taken care of. I'm sitting here in front of Radha Damodar, and they don't give the temple, but they give the deity, and therefore the deity goes somewhere else to another temple, or goes into the care of some Vaishnava. Then once again, there becomes room for the scope for quite a bit of variety. Hare Krishna.